Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're starting the book of Galatians this evening. The book of Galatians is a very precious book to me because it was through the preaching of the third chapter of Galatians that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This book is a real, I think, the best book that I've, to build faith. In the New Testament, it really is a faith builder, and she tells the necessity of faith and how to receive salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all the other gifts of the Lord. It shows that it's not by our works or by the deeds of the ordinances of the law that have been done away with because of Christ. Certain ordinances like circumcision, it shows plainly in that book where we now have, because it's the things that circumcision was replaced in the flesh for the Jews was replaced now by circumcision of the heart, where the Holy Spirit pierces into your heart, the Lord enters into your heart, into your spirit, and that's the way the Lord wants everyone to be circumcised, to have the inner man circumcised by the Holy Spirit, to be cut into, and to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the entire triune God, by faith, enters into our hearts by knowing that we started out by faith, by receiving our salvation. And there's no other way to gain any spiritual gift from the Lord, and for that matter, any gift in this world from God, other than by faith. And so there's no point trying. I really didn't even try that on that particular day to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was trying and trying for months, and even, I believe, 2 or 3 years to receive it, and I never got it. But I just by chance walked upstairs into the bedroom of this real shack that we were living in behind a filling station in Hollywood, and the radio was on, and I heard a Mexican man, Robert Aguirre, preaching the gospel from Angelus Temple, and he was preaching from the third chapter of Galatians, and he was saying just those things. He was talking about how foolish the Galatians were for believing another gospel that really is not the gospel at all. He said, it just shocks me to see how quickly you have been removed from the real gospel. He said, but he wants everyone to know that if he or if an angel from heaven or anybody comes preaching any other gospel than that which you first received with great welcome, then let God's curse be upon them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but we're going to go into chapter 1. We'll get chapter 3 later. But let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, by faith we enter in through the blood of Jesus to the throne of the living God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll open up hearts, souls, minds, and that you will imprint your word into their hearts, souls, and minds. And Lord, that you will work a great and mighty work from this message in them, and also through the rest of the messages from the book of Galatians. Lord, we ask that you do this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul planted the churches in Galatia during his first missionary journey in Asia Minor. But soon, not many months of Paul's ministry there, certain people began to preach another gospel, which was not the good news that Paul had preached. These teachers claimed that those Gentile converts to Christ had to keep the portion of the law that had to do with circumcision. This law was changed with the new covenant because it had to do with the flesh and not the spirit.
Right. Well, these were laws that were symbolic of that which was to come. Circumcision. and also burnt offerings. That law is done away with. Most of the law has to do with burnt offerings. And the way burnt offerings are killed and sacrificed. That's what most of the law is. And also the law of circumcision. But all those laws are done away with in Christ. They're just symbolic of Christ coming as the sacrifice. But the Ten Commandments, a lot of people say, well, the law is done away with. Not the Ten Commandments, just the law of ordinances regarding burnt offerings and also circumcision and several other ordinances as well. These were just things that the Lord foretold of that were symbolic of the coming of Christ. Now we must be circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit. And these false teachers were telling the new Gentile converts that they had to be circumcised, which was taken away from the meaning of Christ's coming, that they were saying that a cow, a calf, or a burnt offering, well, you had to do that and you had to be circumcised in the flesh rather than in the heart. Now, a lot of people can obey ordinances. They love it when you just tell them, just give us a set of rules to keep and we'll do it. But not many of them want to pray and to seek God for what He wants them to do. They're lazy. They want to just hear a list of rules and regulations like the Jews had. Okay, well, you have to bring a bullock here on this particular day, and you have to get circumcised on the eighth day. You have to do all these things. And many other ordinances that are all done away with in the New Testament, the New Covenant, all these were only for a while, a short while. Now, everything is by the Spirit. All right? And nothing by the flesh. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, now go. So there comes these teachers in here telling these new converts that were just saved and the Spirit is in them that they have to begin doing ceremonies, circumcision. The next thing, if they went for that, then they'd be having them giving burnt offerings again rather than accepting Christ as the Savior of the world. And all of His works would be nothing if we would start walking around proud as the Jews do because they got circumcised. Circumcision of the flesh doesn't do anything. And offering up a burnt animal, an animal, doesn't do anything. Christ is the only sacrifice that can take away the sins of the world with His blood. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
God wants our inward heart to be circumcised by the Holy Spirit cutting into our heart to our spirits.
And coming into our spirit. Then what?
They said that they couldn't be saved if they were not circumcised.
Right,
in flesh.
These false teachers were saying that they couldn't be saved unless they got and go to heaven if they didn't get circumcised in their flesh. That would be just like somebody coming into my church and telling them that they can't be saved unless they bring bullocks and calves and sheep and rams and lambs and we build an altar and start offering them up so that we could be saved. All right? You understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
This meant that if the Gentiles would want a place in the church, they would have to be circumcised.
Yeah, or else you can't come into the church unless you get circumcised. Well, you can't come into our church unless you've been circumcised either. I mean, in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
You can come to the services, but you can't move in until you know Christ. All right? Fair enough? Okay, then what?
This false gospel was very enticing to the Gentile believers.
Yeah, it's very enticing because that's a rule and a regulation. You don't have to walk in the Spirit. Just ask somebody what to do. That's what people like to do, is ask, what do we do? What should we do with this? And what should we do with that? That way, whoever tells you stuff, if they're telling you something wrong, your pastor, Well, then you figure he's on the hook because he's telling me to do it. Okay? Then what?
They thought it to be endorsed by the apostles in Jerusalem.
Right. The new converts thought that this was endorsed by all the apostles that were up in Jerusalem. Now, we know that Paul is writing correctly because this is the Bible, because Jerusalem is up on top of a mountain. The rest of Israel is down below. And it's a very big mountain. Okay, then what?
Their argument based on the Old Testament seemed flawless and irrefutable.
Right. I mean, when you're saying, listen, the Bible, the Old Testament, God said that we have to be circumcised, and he even told Moses, if you're not circumcised, you know he's going to kill him.
But because Paul knew how destructive this false teaching could be, he wrote this letter to correct them.
This letter of Galatians was written to correct the church that you must live by faith in the works of Christ, not go back into the Old Testament and be relying on all those rules and ordinances and regulations. Not mentioning it. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the Mosaic Law, the law of Moses that Moses was given by God in regard to sacrifices and circumcision and holidays and feast days and all these sorts of things. All right? Those are all over with. Read that again.
But because Paul knew how destructive this false teaching could be, he wrote this letter to correct them.
Right. Christ has come into the world. Joy to the world. Wonderful. Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us is in the world now. Amen?
Amen.
To hell with burnt offerings, with cows and sheep and goats. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we don't want to go back into the old age. This would destroy the very the entire Old and New Testament, because the Old Testament tells us that Christ is coming into the world, and then when he comes, then you still stay in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, and you'd be going by a bunch of rules and regulations rather than walking in the Spirit. Now, of course, we keep the Ten Commandments. That has nothing to do with that. That never changes, the Ten Commandments. And the other commandments, the commandment of walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the law now. Amen?
Amen.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And to be circumcised by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Okay, then what?
Paul made it clear to the Galatians that it is enough to be in Christ.
It is enough to be in the Lord. You don't need any more cows, okay, or sheep or lambs or rams or doves or chickens, because they use those too. It's enough to be born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood of Jesus. Okay, because this is perfection, to be in the temple of God and for the Lord to be using your body as his temple, his home to live in. Amen?
Yeah.
And he needs to be made welcome. And he needs to know that you're not welcoming him during a service and then you forget all about him after the service. He wants to live in his home peacefully without any intrusion from the devil. He doesn't want you to let the devil in where he's at. Peace in you. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, then what?
In Christ, we have been made one with God and Christ by our uniting with him by the Spirit.
By the Spirit, yeah, not with a cow. Not by some doctor giving us a circumcision, all right, in the flesh. This is Dr. Jesus giving you a circumcision, the Holy Spirit cutting into you. Amen?
Amen.
You understand it a little bit better now?
Yes.
All right, then what?
We are set free from the law of circumcision, which was a temporary law for the Jews, until the Holy Spirit, through Christ, came into the world in the New Testament.
Right, and circumcises us in the heart. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
By and through Christ, we are freed also from our sinning and from the power of Satan to make us sin.
So if we go back into the Old Testament, They have to give up sacrifices every year because of sin. But we are free from sin because the Lord in us gives us power to go and sin no more. The Lord never tells us, commands us to do something that we're unable to do, that He wouldn't give us the power to do. We are totally capable, more than conquerors, to never sin again. That is, if we walk in, if we keep His commandments, that is, to reunite ourselves with Him on a daily basis. Amen?
Yeah.
To read and pray daily. This is the power, and this is the only way. There's no other possible way to enter the kingdom of heaven other than this way. We're not in the Old Testament. You say, well, I don't keep the rules and regulations of the church. There are rules and regulations in this world. There's ordinances. But a lot of the rules and regulations, we are, if we walk in the Spirit, you're going to be fine. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We now are free to live under God's mighty power or grace.
Yes. So we're now free because of His mighty power in us. Amen?
Yeah.
We're free from having to sin. Because the devil tells people to sin and they do it. But now we have the power to say, the Lord is in us. The Lord conquered Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave. Amen?
Yeah.
So if He's in us now, and we're circumcised in the heart, and His Holy Spirit is in us, and as a matter of fact, a triune God, which is all spirit. God the Father is spirit. Jesus is spirit. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is God. Amen?
Yeah.
Is spirit, right? God is spirit. Not a spirit. Jesus is a quickening spirit. But God is spirit. And the Word is spirit and life. And with that word in you, don't you feel that you could conquer anything spiritually when you're in a service?
Yeah.
When you're, because your mind is concentrated on the Lord at that time. Amen?
Yeah.
And if you do that all the time, you're going to feel this way all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
So if you just have enough sense and enough fear of God to know that His word is true, and you'd go to hell if you slip. Sometimes there's these things, if I slip and fall, well, Jesus will understand. Yeah, He understands all right, but He wants you to understand His word. If you fall away, you're Antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
And that's unforgivable sin. It's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's too much of this simpering, whimpering stuff, but that's not going to do any good. That's like a bat that's loose in the church that gets cornered and cries, you know, when somebody's going to whack it with a broom and put it out of its misery. The Lord does not pay any attention to weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. He wants obedience. Amen?
Amen.
And He can get obedience. We can be very obedient to Him. If God is in you, who could be against you? And how could you fall? Amen?
Amen.
But you have to keep Him in there. Like if somebody gives you a the Hope Diamond, say the thing is worth $100 million, that's so precious. Hey, you're going to hang on to that, aren't you?
Yes.
The Lord is more precious than that. Amen.
Amen.
You better hang on to Him for dear life. The Word of God is more precious than the whole world, the whole universe. Amen?
Amen.
Hang on to Him. Get a scissor grip on Him and hold on with both arms. Amen?
Amen.
And don't let anything shake you. You don't really have to do that. You just have to meditate on Him, the Word, both day and night, and get in there and just immerse yourself into Him and swim in the Word. Amen. You cannot fall if you do that. You cannot escape heaven if you do that. But if you don't, you will not be able to escape hell and the lake of fire. Keep your mind on the Lord. Okay, then what?
We have to wonder why the Galatians would ever want to give up the freedom they had in Christ.
Yeah, why would they want to go back to the Old Testament where they have to drag cows around and get all bloody and all this? And why would they want to go into circumcision and to go through all those holidays and travel all the way up to that mountain and then down and take off a job and everything and all this mess? Why would they want to go through these ordinances when Christ has set them free to serve Him and gives them the power within them to serve Him? Why do you want to go back to that? Amen?
Amen.
Look at it. Even All right. Then what?
But bondage is subtle.
Yeah, bondage is real subtle. People get comfortable in bondage. Go ahead, read it.
No one ever starts drinking liquor with the idea of becoming a drunkard, an alcoholic.
No. The guy that's on Skid Row, the wino, he never thought, well, I'm going to drink so I can be a wino. Amen? It's subtle. It happens a little at a time. Amen?
Amen.
The adulteress, she doesn't really commit adultery or fornication with the idea that she's going to be in a whorehouse. It happens subtle. She gets down on her. Instead, she with the Lord, she doesn't have luck. She's got God. Amen? That ain't luck. They say we're down on our luck. The whole world is they don't have any luck. It's just they're lost. And it's very sad. And people should be concerned about people that are lost. Okay? To let the Lord live in them so they can see the evidence of Him in this world in you. Then what?
We slowly become dependent on certain behaviors, substances, and attitudes.
On alcohol, narcotics, drugs, crack, cocaine, heroin, opium. You gradually get hooked on it, amen? Doesn't happen all at once. Any more than you're going to be a mature Christian all at once. You have to work at it, amen?
Amen.
It doesn't happen overnight. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you can feel yourself growing, can't you?
Yes.
Some of you thought you were already grown up, you know, a year or two ago, a decade ago, but look at this. Okay, then what?
And in a pathetic sort of way, our bondage gives us security.
Yeah. Yeah, in a very pitiful or pathetic type of way, when you're in bondage, it gives you a sense of security. Like I notice, you know, a lot of people that are, when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, a lot of prisoners said, I don't know whether I want to go out on the street, man. I got three hots and a cot in here. And, you know, I don't want to go out there. Everything costs so much now, and I'm going to have to work. And right here, I mean, it's at least, you know, even though we're living in a gas chamber, they can turn those prisoners into a gas chamber if a war starts. They're actually, I've been told, instructed to turn the gas on everybody in there. And, you know, that would give most people claustrophobia if you had any brains. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be in there. But they say they have like a secure, this bondage that they're in is security to them. It's just like being in bondage to alcohol. I notice drunks, they don't feel secure until they get a bottle of wine. You know, and so they panhandle money on the streets in Los Angeles. A lot of you people don't know anything about that sort of thing. But they panhandle enough money to get a jug of Thunderbird, T-Bird, or to get themselves a little lid of boo, they call it, grass, marijuana, that's, or whatever they're addicted to. And they don't feel comfortable until they get a fix. Amen? Just somebody that's just like strung out on any type of anything, any sorts of substance. Some people must, they're addicted to all kinds of illicit sex, lesbianisms, homosexuals. And they're not comfortable unless they're doing it. But the Lord sets all these people free. Amen?
Amen.
And he supports you. That is, if you continue on in Him. Amen? You don't need that. But it's like a sick thing that people feel secure in their bondages, whatever it is. Amen? They're sick in their head, in their spirit, in their souls. Then what?
This letter to the Galatian believers challenges us to hold on to our freedom.
Right, this letter to the Galatians tells us don't be in bondage anymore to these addictions. to Satan in any way. Hold on to your freedom. Christ has made us free. He's our freedom. Amen?
Amen.
He's our power to continue in freedom, to serve Him freely. I can say what the Lord wants me to say to kings, presidents, the whole world. Amen? I'm free to do that. And even if they put me in bonds, I'm still free to do that until I die. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm free. Amen?
Amen.
Satan, he tells me to shut my mouth, and I tell him, no. I just say no to the tempter. Amen?
Amen.
He says, stop doing that or I'll kill you. I say, well, make my day, man. Go ahead. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Then what?
Being controlled by alcohol or drugs means living in slavery. So, so does being involved in any recovery program, which is based on our own abilities and struggles.
Right. If you go to AAA or any of these self-help programs, that's bondage. Amen? Because you're trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you can't do that. You're not free in Christ. Amen? He cuts all that out. You don't have to do that. This Tony Robbins, the Lord shows us how to be successful in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Tony Robbins, I sneer at him. Okay? I growl at him. And what?
We cannot escape the grip of addiction and sin alone. But as we turn our life over to God, He will give us His power in us.
Yeah, we can't escape all these things by ourselves, because Jesus said we can do nothing by ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We have to have Christ. So read that again.
We cannot escape the grip of addiction and sin alone.
No, we can do nothing alone to get rid of all those addictions. Amen?
Amen.
And sin. Then, but in Christ, we're more than conquerors over it. Amen?
Amen.
More, much more. All right? Get it again.
We cannot escape the grip of addiction and sin alone, but as we turn our life over to God...
Or by ourselves. But as we turn ourselves over to God, then what?
He will give us His power in us to do it, to overpower our dependency.
Yeah, our dependency on drugs, booze, pornography, sex, filth, all the different things that are in the world today that people are dependent upon, programs. Yeah, there's so many programs it makes me dizzy. I wouldn't be able to keep up with all of them. Now, if there's a program to stop being a homosexual, you'd have to go over to that place, and then go to another place, another meeting, to get rid of your alcohol problem, then over to drug rehabilitation center to get rid of that. All you have to do is go to Christ, amen, and He takes care of the whole... Check. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
To encourage readers to depend only on Christ alone for salvation, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
See, because I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was trying to get it myself in all different ways, and if anyone would knock on the door, I'd get very uptight. And then all of a sudden, all you need to do is just to pray to the Lord, give it to me, and make up the way clear. Amen? And just read the Word right here. And don't have faith in any programs or any particular way how to do it. Just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord is pouring it out on you right now. All you have to do is recognize that and just receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you say, well, we have to wait. You know, the Bible says, tarry in Jerusalem. We don't have to wait anymore. The baptism, the day of Pentecost is over with. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is in the world already, okay? So don't wait. Get it now. Amen?
Amen.
But there isn't anything you can do of your own self, or you're trying to bake so many pies, and that God will reward you with spiritual gifts, or to do so many pages of typing a day, or to clean the house real good. Those are the things that will not get you the things of the Lord. It's faith that gets these things for you. Amen?
Amen?
And the Word builds faith up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Amen?
Amen?
And that's how I got it when he was preaching, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when he was preaching from the book of Galatians chapter 3. And he was saying many of these things that I'm saying right now. Amen? Forget about it. Cut yourself loose from all your programs and all the different crazy things you have in your head, and just trust the Lord. Give yourself wholly unto Him, totally unto the Lord, and let Him pour out the Spirit on you. Don't you have any doubt in your mind that, will He do it on me, or I'm not good enough? I was not good enough then, okay, when I got saved. I was a weasel when the Lord saved me, amen?
Amen.
He washed me up and cleansed me, and I wasn't what I am today. I don't know the Bible as well then as I do today, and He baptized me with the Holy Spirit. It was by faith, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
To encourage readers to depend only on Christ alone for salvation, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, daily strength, and every spiritual gift and blessing in this world and the world to come.
Don't you want daily strength?
Amen.
Trust the Lord for it. He says read, and He'll give you the strength. Amen?
Amen.
And pray. Now, you feel more strength now, don't you?
Yes.
Since we've been reading here and expounding on the Word.
Yes.
Well, you will do, and you do it yourself. Try it. Amen?
Yes.
You don't need anybody over you. You have Christ over you. Amen?
Amen?
Well, wait a minute. We need you to give us rules and regulations, Tony. Oh, no, I'm not going to give you a set of rules. The Lord wants you to walk by the Spirit. He's the rule giver, amen?
Amen?
Does that mean you can eliminate me? I pray not. Okay? Because my office is to bring messages to you to build your faith, amen?
Amen.
But not in me. In Him. I'm trying to get you all, coax you into reading for yourself and see that you can get the same strength by reading yourself as you're getting from me. From Him dealing with you through me. Well, wait a minute. No, that's not secure, is it? You still want to be in bondage, huh? No, the Lord has set you free to read yourself. Amen?
Amen.
And to pray for others yourself. And to witness to others yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, but Tony, you're our security blanket. No. I'm like one of those birds that tries to kick their kids out of the nest so they can fly. Amen? You remember that song, I Believe I Can Fly? Well, I'm going to prove that you can. I'm going to shove you out of the nest, and it's either fly or sink. Amen? All right, then what? Because you're free to do it. Amen? So you better not go to the Lord and say, well, Tony didn't bring enough messages. Uh-uh. You better get in there yourself. Okay, then what?
Paul admonishes the Galatians and us all. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the ordinances of the law before the Spirit freed us from circumcision of the flesh, sacrificing animals for burnt offerings.
Yeah, the Spirit freed you from all that, isn't it? Boy, I was glad. I just read the drudgery that they went through and all the different things and sticking their fingers in the blood and putting it on the horn over here and on the other horn over there, and just a complete redundancy of it over and over again. I don't want to be involved in that. I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Forget about those old ordinances where you have to go through all that. And then the Lord said, I mean, us all free from that. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Okay, and then what?
The Ten Commandments and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ will never end, though. Galatians 5:1.
Yeah, those are the laws that the Lord never does away. He wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger on two tables of enduring granite, stone. And now He writes them on the table of our heart. We don't need those two tables anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got it right in us by the Spirit, amen?
Amen?
He takes our granite stone heart and softens it up and writes His commandments in there. And if you still want to remain granite and still want to stay in the bondage and still want to go to hell, that's your choice. But I'm doing everything in my power to blast with the Word of God, and the Lord's helping me through the Spirit, through His Word, to to show you that your way is wrong. His way is right. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Amen? He set us free. Free to do what? Sin? God forbid. He gave us the power to not sin. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah, don't go back to the law of ordinances, circumcision, holidays, feasts, all that stuff. Feast on the Lord. Eat and drink Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The manna, the bread of life. The Jews are all wet. I mean, they need to get right. Amen?
Amen.
You know, time is, marches on. We're into the New Testament now, the New Covenant that the Lord promised in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He said He's going to do away with the old, bring in the new. Right? Okay, then what?
The seduction of the law pertaining to the flesh now is abolished in Christ.
Right, because the law keeps seducing people that don't know the Lord. They want to keep putting you under the law. So that is, these people that are not of the Lord are using the law to seduce you back into the Old Testament. He does that with the Jews. And that's a good argument too, because it does say you must be circumcised, you must bring these sacrifices in here, you must attend the synagogue on certain days, you must come, you must pay attention to the Sabbath. It's on a certain hour, and when the sun goes down, and then when the sun comes back up the next morning, you got to. But the Lord tells us to serve Him and walk in the Spirit, and He'll tell you when to rest, and He'll tell you when to go. Amen?
Yes.
He'll tell you, maybe He'll tell you to heal somebody on the Sabbath, what the old Sabbath day used to be. Amen?
Yes.
But now it's 7 days a week. Every day is a set to rest in the Lord, to Sabbath in the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
That's the Sabbath. Most people don't know that in this world. You know that? And here we are in this little church that has grown out of proportions. We know that, right? The Lord showed it to me. Then what? And He showed it to you. All you got to do is read the Bible. You'll see that it's true. Then what?
Some people find it easier to follow a set of rules than to work on a personal inventory of praying, meditating on Scripture, or engaging in other activities, walking in the Spirit, that keep us spiritually alive, because they lead to a deeper relationship with God.
Right. So, you know, praying and walking in the Spirit, all these things, people don't want to do that. They just want to rely on a set of rules, like the Old Testament, right? Go ahead.
We would rather have someone other than God tell us what to do.
No, but if you're a Christian, you're supposed to have the Lord tell you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
So you're not going to get off the hook with me. Amen?
Amen?
If you're led by the Spirit, then the Lord's talking to you, and you're talking to Him all the time. He'll tell you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
You think He's capable of telling you what to do?
Yes.
But, you know, no, you'd rather have a set of rules. Well, we have to, so-and-so says for us to go down here today, we have to pick up this over here, we have to do this, we have to do that, and this, and that, and this, and that. When in reality, the Lord might be trying to get a hold of you. Tell your pastor that you can't go down there today because the Lord says you can't, because if you do, you're going to get killed, or something like that, you know? It's not wise to not talk to the Lord, and to listen to His answer back. Okay, what else?
The Galatians must have felt the same way.
Yeah, they felt the same way. You know what I'm saying? What I'm talking about? That they'd rather have a set of rules than to walk in the Spirit. Because He called them foolish Galatians in the 3rd chapter, right? He says, you're believing another gospel. He says, I'm really shocked that you people have so soon been removed from the real gospel. But if anyone, even an angel, come down from heaven and tells you another gospel than what we have preached unto you, let God's curse come upon them. Amen?
Amen.
But But the Galatians got away from the Lord. They liked rules. Go ahead, read.
They then would have said, just give us some rules to follow, like the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, sacrifices, circumcision.
Yeah, holidays, feasts, Sabbath. Now, we go seven times better than the Sabbath. The Lord says, "For come unto me and I'll give you Sabbath," amen, for your souls. That's not just once a day, once a week, but that's every day. We want to rest in the Lord every day, amen. Rest from our own labors and do what He wants. That's Sabbath. Okay? Then what?
Just following a set of rules for recovery is never the way to success. It is impossible for us to do by ourselves, and it also leads us from our dependence on God, who is the only source for success.
Right, you can't do anything apart from the Lord, so if you start following just rules, you're never going to get strong. You have to exercise your spiritual muscles. You have to exercise talking to the Lord and Him talking back to you, so you get used to walking in the Spirit. You have to talk to Him every day, and He has to talk back to you, and He'll talk back to you. Following a set of rules is like an easy way out. It's like a coward's way out. It's like not scriptural. Well, don't we have to keep rules? Yeah, just like you have to follow rules when you're driving a car, but that doesn't mean you stop walking in the Spirit when you're driving a car. Amen?
Amen.
There's rules and regulations when you're cooking something on the stove. First of all, you got to turn the stove on. Amen? That's a rule. Try to cook without turning it on. Amen? If you want light in the house, you got to turn the switch on. That's a rule. So there's rules to everything, but you still have to walk in the Spirit. Then what?
This letter was written to show us how important it is to find spiritual freedom.
Right, Galatians is a wonderful book, amen?
Yeah.
Set you free. Then what?
Freedom is found as we turn our life over to God, not at all depending on our own self-sufficiency, but on His powerful and firm intervention.
Yeah, you want Him to intervene. You want Him... Where you fail, you want Him to lift you up, amen?
Yeah.
Where you don't have any strength, you want Him to intervene and give you strength to go through this day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Don't you want to go through this day successfully until you lay your head down on the bed?
Mm-hmm.
And then wake up in the morning and start getting a hold of the Lord again?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can make it through that day?
Yeah.
One day at a time? Then what?
Having faith in Christ is the only way we can have true freedom from sin and its consequences and from bondage to our defects of character. We become believers through the work of the Holy Spirit, the personal expression of the power of God.
Right, the Holy Spirit is the personal expression of God, and if the Holy Spirit is in you, you will be the personal expression of God. He in you will be His personal expression. Amen?
Amen?
To the world. He'll live His life out on you. He'll express Himself in and through you. Okay, then what?
We also are given the power to recover by the Holy Spirit.
So in other words, recover from drugs, alcohol, and every other addiction that you might have. We're free from all of them. Christ has set you free. Those that the Lord sets free are free indeed. Amen? I mean, really set free. Turn loose. Then what?
He brings new life to us, even our faith to believe and the courage to admit our own powerlessness without Christ.
Yeah, that's faith in itself right there. Amen? Then what else? Read that again.
He brings new life to us.
Yeah, every day when we read this, the life is renewed in us daily. Amen?
Amen?
And what?
Even our faith to believe.
Even our faith to believe. Because faith comes by hearing, you know. Hearing by the word, then what?
And the courage to admit our own powerlessness without Christ.
Because you know that before you get into the word, you feel powerless. But when you get into the word, you feel the power. So you admit, I'm nothing. I have no power without Christ. Amen? And that's good. The Lord likes that, when you recognize that He is the power, that all power in heaven and earth belongs to Him, not you. And it's yours, though, if you drink it and eat it. Okay, then what?
The Holy Spirit instructs, guides, and leads and gives us power. It is He who delivers us from our bondage to evil desires and addictive patterns and creates in us love, joy, peace, and serenity. The necessity of faith. Many of us have been frustrated, even discouraged to the point of giving up, by our failed efforts to change. Recovering from sin and its destructive effects, including our dependency, is only possible through trust in Jesus, the Word. Turning our will and our life over to God does not miraculously and instantly transform us, even though many changes do sometimes happen right away.
When you first get saved, you're not mature in the Lord. It takes years. Amen? Mm-hmm. Years of really pounding in there, seeking Him every day. That's how you just, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It just keeps compounding. A house isn't built in a day. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, you know, you set the plumbing in, you put the foundation around, you put in all the plumbing, and you put the termite control down on the ground, cover it with Vesqueen and rebar and chicken wire, then you pour the slab, and then you start framing it up with one board after the other. And then you throw on a roof and box in the thing, and the windows and all of that, and so that the rain doesn't come in, so in the event or the rain or storm gets too cold out, you can work inside. Amen?
Amen.
And you roof it, and you see, it takes time to build the house for the Lord to live in. Amen?
Amen?
You're that house. And it's built strong by the Word of God, by following these rules of the Lord. And what is His rule? The only one is walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And thou shalt not fulfill the lusts of the flesh thereof. Amen?
Amen.
You will not fulfill the lusts of your flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. So there is freedom, amen?
Amen,
from sin and Satan, your flesh. You just have to want it. And if you don't, or you want hell then.
By placing our trust and confidence in our Lord Jesus, we experience God's forgiveness and acceptance. Then His power begins to
work.
So
when you trust the Lord, then you know you're forgiven. And you no longer have an ill conscience, okay, a sinful conscience. You're trusting in the Lord that everything that He says is true. And you're trusting in Him to receive the power so that you don't slump back into sin every day. Because if you keep sinning every day and you can't, you're not controlled, the Lord's Spirit doesn't control, you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, that you're out of order, you're completely out of control. And therefore your conscience is never at peace with you. And so the only way to get rid of that is to just get into the Word and sink into it and surrender yourself completely into the Spirit, the Lord, the Word. That's it. You know, there's no other possible way to get rid of that evil conscience. Oh, some people just think that's like death. Yeah, it is death to the devil. And if you're of the devil, then you're mourning when I'm saying this. It makes you just sick. It just makes you sick. But if you're of the Lord, you've gotten the key now how to have victory. Some people, though, love that security blanket of being in the cesspool of sin and Satan. But that security is short-lived, especially if the Lord takes your life any moment or any one of these days, then what are you going to do? Your whole security blanket is torn away from you, and there's no recovery. Then what?
Then His power begins to work within us to enable our continuous growth and recovery.
Right, it's a continuous growing thing. And you get more and more faith all the time, and you have more and more victory every day. But all you need is victory for today. Amen? We only got a few more hours to go. Thank God, hey? Don't slip when it's 11:45. Okay, then what else?
Chapter 1, Galatians.
Okay, here we go now. Chapter 1, Galatians. That was not Galatians right there. This is just explaining what Galatians is about. Okay? Now here's chapter 1. All right, go ahead.
Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group or by human authority. My call is from Jesus Christ Himself and from God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters have joined me in sending greetings to the churches of Galatia. May grace and peace be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
May grace, which is the power of God in you, be in you, and peace to your conscience, because you are following what the Lord says. Okay, to that point, now read the King James.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, the brethren are the brothers and sisters. Amen. Right? And what else? Because there's no male or female in the Lord. Amen? In the Spirit? Okay, then what?
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Okay, now, read what I've written here to that point, from where we left off to that point.
He died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. This is why all glory belongs to God through all the ages of eternity. Amen. There is only one gospel, good news. I am shocked.
Well, a gospel of good news, okay? Or good news. There's only one good news, only one gospel. Amen? Paul says, I'm shocked that you're so soon removed from it. Go ahead.
I am shocked that you were turning away so soon from God, who in his love and mercy called you to share the eternal life he gives through Christ.
He called you to share eternal life with Christ. And people take that lightly. He wants you to share eternal life with Jesus. He wants you to share heaven with him. Is that bad?
No.
Okay, then what?
You are already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message than the one we told you about. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. I will say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you welcomed, let God's curse fall upon that person.
Okay, now, read King James after that point.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Right, because they come and say that you have to go back to the Old Testament, don't believe them. Okay, they're cursed. Because they're saying Christ did not set you free. Satan had you bound, but Jesus set you free. Amen?
Amen?
That's not just a song. Okay, then what?
For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Okay, read what I said there.
Obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant.
Amen? Amen. People pleaser. Then what?
Paul's message is from Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, I solemnly assure you that the good news of salvation which I preach is not based on mere human reasoning or logic. For my message came by a direct relationship or revelation from Jesus Christ himself. No one else taught me. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted the Christians.
You know, that's what religions are of the devil. But salvation is of the Lord. The Jewish religion wanted to kill Christians. Evil, of the devil. Religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. Then what?
I did my best to get rid of them. I was one of the most religious Jews of my own age, and I tried as hard as possible to follow all the old traditions of my religion. But then something happened. For it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born.
Well, yeah, even before, when he was in his mother's womb, amen? Who separated me from my mother's womb, he said, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And for it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born by his incredible power or grace. Then he revealed his Son to me so that I could proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When all this happened to me, I did not rush out to consult with anyone else, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. No, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. It was not until 3 years later that I finally went to Jerusalem for a visit with Peter and stayed there with him for 15 days. And the only other apostle I met at that time was James, our Lord's brother.
Okay, now, go ahead and finish it off.
Okay. You must believe what I am saying, for I declare before God I am not lying. Then after this visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us now preaches the very faith he tried to destroy, and they gave glory to God because of me.
Okay, now let's read from the point we left off in the King James to the end of the chapter.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me.
Praise the Lord. That's chapter 1 of Galatians. And Lord willing, we're going to do chapter 2 tomorrow. Praise the Lord.